for Sunday's shir, if you can make sure to learn well that Mochamos, and Daf Yadal Neves and Daf Yarif, and we'll pick up at that point simply about the Yeyush and Aveda, and so on. Okay, good. One of the many mitzvahs that you find in Parshas Achrimos is the chiyuv of kisui hadam. The pasuk tells us in Perek Yud Zayin, pasuk Yud Gimel, v'shafach es damo, reference to shechita, and then v'chisohu be'afar, and the need to engage in kisui. Clearly, the way the Torah tells us there is a relationship and a fundamental machlokas rishonim as to the nature of this kesher between the obligation of shechita and that of kisui hadam. Now, obviously, on the simplest level, that kisui hadam is only that which follows shechita, that's clear, but in a broader sense, is there a more direct relationship? You know, if you want to do the halachos of kisui hadam, you look in the Rambam and Pirkei Yedal Levilchos Shechita, and we've always discussed, you know, the placement of the Rambam is something which is critical. The statement of Rechaim Volozhiner in Chutam Meshulosh and Simen Yud, that it's not really what the Rambam says, but always look very, very carefully. Where the Rambam says it, the placement of the Rambam is considered to be that which is critical. In the context of all the Dinei Shechita, the Rambam discusses that of Kisui Hadam. One has to be careful. What exactly does that mean? Because one could argue, maybe that's not a Lamda Shahara, but very simply, practically, that obviously, that Kisui Hadam is something that always follows that which is a Maisa HaShechita. But that is an important diuk in the Rambam Shita. Just like a stunning example. Now we'll discuss Kisui Hadam, but a stunning example. The Rambam discusses in Ochel Shabbos, Perek Yud, Halacha Yud, right? The case that you find in the Gemara on Shabbos of Poseach Beis HaTzavar. A person has a shirt, and he opens up the area of the neck. And how does he do that? That he rips it. He rips it open in order to have a proper hole to be able to wear the begin. And the Rambam places this in Ochel Shabbos, Perek Yud, Halacha Yud, in the dinim of Korea. So there's a stunning chiddush that the Mishnah Berurah has in the Bir Halacha and Simen Shin Mem that poseach beis hatzavar is a form of Korea, because the Rambam places it in Halachas of Korea, a very simple deal. Why is that so stunning? Because the Mishnah Berurah writes, you see here a great, great chiddush, that even though the Malacha is Korea Amanas Litvor, that's how the Mishnah Daf Ayin Gimel presents the Malacha, Lav Davka Amanas Litvor. Mishnah Berurah writes, all you need is any positive tzorech. It doesn't necessarily have to mean opening in order to resew, but any constructive tzorech is Korea Darais of Araya, Poseach Beis HaTzavar. Because the Rambam says that's considered to be chayiv. If you look in Kesev Mishnah and Magid Mishnah, they write the Rambam doesn't mean the Malacha of Korea. The Rambam means it's a Malacha of Tikkun Manav, Maka Bepatish. That's how it completes the garment. But Korea has to be Korea, which is Amanas Litvor. So just as an example, that the Rambam places this Halacha of ripping and opening in a garment in the Halachos of Korea. Is that just simply because, practically speaking, that's what the person is doing? He's ripping a seam, he's opening, but it's not a malacha of Korea, right? It's a malacha of Tikkun Mana. Or does it really mean the Mishnah Berurah's diuk that if the Rambam places it there, it means that this is a malacha of Korea and you don't need Amanas Litvor? So I'll just tell you just as a mashal. Obviously, if you're going to discuss the halachas of Kisui Hadam, right, you're going to juxtapose it with the Dinei Shechita like the Pasuk. V'shafach es damo v'chiso be'afar. But the question in Lamdas, to what extent do we assume that really Kisui Hadam is related inherently to the mitzvah of Shechita? Because if you look in the Rosh and Chulin, in Perek Vav, Simen Vav, the Rosh quotes a stunning chiddush of the Halachos Kedavos. Whenever we make a bracha, and clearly there is a bracha on Kisui Hadam, the Gemara Masechet Adav Zayin, a bracha is over Lasiyas. The Gemara has some exceptions. And the noted exception the Gemara has is where that cannot be. The Gemara's extreme case, Tvilas Hager. The Ger is going to make a bracha before Gerus. He's going to make a Birchas HaMitzvah? Obviously not. So a Ger has to make a bracha on the Tvila La'achar Asiyasa. And that's exactly why the Gemara says the Nusach HaBrachi is Al, because it's after the fact, right? We discussed before Pesach, Achidish the Rambam, the bracha on Bir Chametz is Al Bir Chametz, because the Rambam writes, it's after the fact. because the mindset of Tashbisa, Midaraisa, Bitoba Masagi, so it's after the fact. The Gemara says, Al Netilas Lulav. Whenever you make a bracha, the object should be in your hand. But once you pick up a lulav, you're Yotze, Midag Bein Afig Bein. So the Gemara says, the bracha is Al Netilas Lulav. And that's what Tosfos writes in Brachos, Nafnun Aleph, when it comes to Netilas Yadayim. It's not appropriate to make a bracha when your hands are soiled, when your hands are foul. So you're going to wash and then make the bracha. So the bracha is Al Netilas Yadayim. So those are like examples of a bracha, which is la'achar asiyasa. So the Rush quotes the Halachos Gedolos that writes that this is a fundamental problem when it comes to kisi adam. Because we would say make a bracha of over la'asiyasim. When exactly is over la'asiyasim? I would say right before the kisi adam. You did the shechita, you're about to machas the adam, make a bracha now on kisi adam. So the Bahag writes, that you can't do because that is not over la'asiyasa. That already is b'siyum mitzvi. That already is at the conclusion of the mitzvah. The over la'asiyasa for kisi adam should be prior to shechita. Because the tchilas ha-mitzvah is the shechita, and the kisi adam is considered to be the gemar ha-mitzvah. It's not just simply that they're temporally related, that obviously the kisei adam follows the shechita, but much more, that lahalacha, the kisei adam is considered to be the siyum ha-mitzvah. And now that presents a problem when it comes to the bracha. You're going to make a bracha of ala shechita, and you're going to make a bracha now of ala kisei adam, but in between the shechita and the bracha shechita. So the Bahag writes, this is another example. Wow, another example where you can't make a bracha over la'asiyasa. And if you can't make a bracha over la'asiyasa, so like tefillah sager, like netilah siyadayim, like lulav, the bracha is going to be la'achar la'asiyasa. So it's hard to envision over la'asiyasa, because that would mean before shechita. And to do it right before the kisui would be be'emtza ha-mitzvah. And there the Bahag writes, in a ra'yu levarech. So therefore, the chiddush that the bracha is considered to be that which is la'achar asiyasa. So kisi adam is an unusual example where you're machas the adam and then you make the bracha of al kisi adam. The chiddush, and the Rush disagrees. The Rush writes that no, ha'olam no nahagu kach, that certainly was never a practice, because kisui is a mitzvah bifnei atzma. Kisui is not in lamdas the gemara shechita. Well, of course, you can't have kisui without, but that does not necessarily mean it's considered to be reckoned as mitzvah achas. They're two separate mitzvahs, of course, that it presupposes an act of shechita, but the bracha is over la'asiyasa immediately before the kisui. So a pretty important machlokas between the Rush and the Bahag, that when is the shas ha-bracha? It should be ideally over la'asiyasa, the Rush writes, or dead, before the kisui. And the Bahag says that can't be, and therefore the bracha is considered to be la'achar asiyasa. It's an important chiddush. Poshav shat, the way the Rush presents it, it's a machlokas whether kisei adam is the gemar hashchita or whether it's considered to be a mitzvah bifnei atzma. If you look, for example, in the beginning of Yoredei in Simin Yutes, the Rama quotes two deos about whether there's nisr hefsik in between the shchita and the kisei adam. The Rama quotes the Shita Samorechai that there's no Isser Hefsik. Why? These are two independent mitzvahs. One can't be mafsik between the brach of Kisi Adam and the Kisi Adam, I understand. And one should not be mafsik be'emtza Kisi Adam, because we try very hard not to be mafsik even be'emtza ha-mitzvah. That's the chumra of the Rif. Don't be mafsik even in the middle of a mitzvah. You're making a bracha on shofar. Don't be mafsik until the conclusion of the kolos, because not just the over la'asiyasa, the bracha and the tchilas ha-mitzvah, but b'emtza ha-mitzvah. But the Mordechai writes, there's nothing wrong with being mafsik in between the shechita and the kisi adam, because these are independent mitzvahs. And then the Rama quotes the second day, Rabbi Yerucham, that there's an ifser hefsik. So if you look in the Taz, there in Yoredei and Simin Yotes, in Sif Katnei, the Taz links this issue. that if kisui is a mitzvah bifnei atzma, as the Rosh maintains, why should that be called a hefsek b'mitzvah mitzvah? But if you're going to maintain the halachos gedolos, this is the Gemara shchita, so therefore you understand very well what the Mordechai says, that we never are a mafsek b'mitzvah mitzvah in any shape or form. Ooh, so far, two differences. When is the appropriate shasa bracha, and whether there's considered to be any yisra hefsek in between the shchita and the kisei hadam, and that of the Rush. Even the Rush, though, certainly maintains that there is somewhat of a link, somewhat of a keshe. Because the Rush writes, so a fascinating deal. This Rush is found a little bit earlier, right, in Chulin Perek Vav. This Rush is in Simin Dalet, where the Rush discusses the following. It's explicit in the Gemara, this. Let's assume, for example, I'm going to be shochet many different animals. I'm going to be shochet a chaya, shochet an oaf. So what exactly is the typical sequence? So the Rush writes, based on the Gemara Chulin Daf Pei Zayin, simply, I'll do the shechita, let's say, of the chaya, and I'll do the kisei adam. I'll do the shechita of the oaf, and then I'll do the kisei adam. So I'll do shechita, then kisui, then shchita. It's mafurish in the Gemara, Pezayin Echulin, that you don't make a bracha on the second shchita. You made a bracha already in the first shchita. So shchita, kisui, shchita. You don't make a new bracha on the shchita. In other words, the kisui is not considered to be a hefsek, to argue that, you know what, you're a mafsek, and now you have to recite a new bracha on shchita. Certainly not. The Rush raises the following issue. Shchita, kisui, shchita, kisui. Do I have to make a bracha on the second kisui adam? The Gemara is mafurish. You don't make a bracha on the second shchita. Does that also mean that you don't make a bracha on the second kisui adam? So the Rush writes, no bracha, probably what you would have said. No bracha. Because after all, that whether a bracha is chal and what follows is a function, the Rush writes, of hesech hadas. And there was no hesech hadas. If you ask me, what are you about to do? You know what the answer is? I'm about to shech several different animals, ofos, and I'm going to do separate shchita, separate kisei adam. But my mindset is that the bracha is going to cover everything. So the Rush writes, just that ha'ara. That just like you don't make a bracha on shchita b, you don't make a bracha on kisui b, because there was no hesach hadas. But the Rush writes the following: what I said is not so obvious. It's a chiddush, because the Rush writes yesh makom lechalek. That's what the Rush writes. It's not so obvious, because one certainly could have distinguished, and argue that the kisui is not a hefsek, but maybe one could have argued the shchita is a hefsek. That's what the Rush writes as a possibility. So the Gemara says the following: you do shchita, kisui, shchita. Maybe it's obvious that the kisui is not a hefsek. The kisui is letzarech hashchita. A hefsek in between what? Shchita. The shchita demands kisui. But I did the kisui one, now shchita two. Shchita two is related to the previous kisui? Certainly not. One could have argued, the Rush writes, that my chiddush is debatable. Because I understand the Gemara that shchita, kisui, shchita, there's no bracha on this. What did I do that's extraneous? What did I do that is a possible hefsek? Kisui is going to be a hefsek. The Torah demands shchita then kisui. How did I divert my attention? But I did shchita kisui. Now all of a sudden, I'm doing another shchita. I understand that there's no hefsek. The shchita A demanded kisui, and the kisui therefore is not a hefsek between shchita A and shchita B. Ooh, but the Rush writes, maybe that's not true when it comes to kisui B. Because what's mafsek in between kisui A and kisui B? Shchita. That shchita is extraneous. That shchita relates to the previous kisui, that's mamish considered to be a milsachrita. That's considered to be a diversion. So the Rush writes that, realize what I'm telling you is a chiddush. What I'm telling you is a chiddush. Because all the Gemara says is you don't make a bracha on shchita b. That's because I didn't do anything extraneous. If you want to go ahead and shech two animals, shchita kisui shchita. However, if I go ahead now and I'm doing a new act of kisui, there's something that separated kisui A in the bracha from kisui B, and that is a foreign shchita, a new shchita. That's the chiddush that the Rush writes. So one could have distinguished. So the Rush writes, I'm telling you a chiddush that you don't distinguish. You don't distinguish. Because hefsik is a function of hesach hadas. And as long as your mindset was, is you know you were going to shech several animals, and you know that you were going to do kisui adam to several animals, so therefore there's no hesach hadas. But realize what I'm telling you is somewhat novel, it's somewhat of a chiddush, because in case A, there was nothing extraneous. Because the shechita demands kisui. But kisui 1 does not demand kisui 2, and therefore maybe one could argue that shechita be'emtza was considered to be that which is a hefsek. So it's interesting that even though the Rush writes against Halachos Gedolos that you don't realize that kisui is a separate mitzvah, and the bracha is over l'asiyasan of the kisui, just realize though that obviously they're temporally, they're related. Once you do the shechita, it demands kisui. And the Rush uses the words that it is gemar l'maisa shechita. The maisa shechita demands kisui. Even if you argue they're two separate mitzvahs. And therefore, in terms of hefsek, one indeed could have distinguished. One could have distinguished. Ahar of the Rush. And then the Rush quotes another chiddush. This is back to the earlier Rush in Perek Vav, in Simen Vav. The Rush writes the following. Fascinating halacha lemaisa. The Rush writes this. Let's say a person is eating a suda, and all of a sudden, he has to bench. For whatever reason. Oh, time is short. He has to run. He's benching. And a person is going to eat after Berachas HaMazon. Eat after Berachas HaMazon. So a person made, right? The Bracha Rishona, good. Now a person benches. But you know, the mindset is, you know what, I'm benching now, but I'm going to continue to drink the coffee afterwards. So that's the Gemara Chunda Peizayin, that you have to make a new Bracha Rishona. Benching is mafsik. Benching does not allow the bracha rishona to continue to survive the birchas hamazon. So any achila la'achar birchas hamazon, that requires a bracha. Okay. And that's the Gemara that says, and what about the following? What about shchita A, kisui, shchita B? That very Gemara, the Pei Zayin. That does not require a bracha. That does not require a bracha. So the Gemara raises the issue that what's the difference between birchas hamazon and kisui adam? That's the Gemara's kasha. Just like birchas hamazon is mafsik, why don't I argue that kisui is mafsik? And therefore, just as I have to make a new bracha rishona and anything I eat after benching, I have to make a new birchas hamitzvah an shchita after kisui hadam. That's the Gemara's kasha. So the Gemara gives the following answer, but this is the litmus test of the Gemara. The Gemara says, Mishte uvaruche bahadi adali lo efsha. You can't bench and eat at the same time. You can't bench and eat at the same time. So therefore, benching is mafsik. Eating, that's something new. But in principle, when it comes to shchita and kisui hadam, the Gemara says, like an extreme case, no. Efshel mishkat b'chadi yadei, u'lachasei b'chadi yadei. Is there anything stopping you from doing both at the same time? Is there anything stopping you from doing both at the same time? In principle, you know what? If you're an expert, You could do shechita the same time you do kisei hadam. It's pragmatic that you have one and the other. But it's not essentially considered to be a hefsek. That's the teretz of the Gemara. So when you leave that Gemara, if someone were to ask you, right, does A constitute a hefsek or does it not? You know what the answer of the Gemara simply seems to be? It depends. If in principle you could have done both at the same time, then that's the greatest indicator that it's not a hefsek. But if that could not be done, like eating and benching, so then that is considered to be hefsek. So that's like the teretz of the Gemara. Oh, so that's the takeaway of the Gemara. Whether something is considered to be hefsek or whether it's not, it depends on, in principle, could you have done so simultaneously? Oh, so the Rush quotes the view of Rabbeinu Yontif. Rabbeinu Yontif. This is very nogeya. A person is in the middle of eating, and all of a sudden, you know, Mariv, you're at a chasana, you're in the middle of eating, and they call you for a minyan. No? So Rabbeinu Yontif writes, after you daven, you have to wash, and you have to make the bracha rishon again. Because the criteria, the Gemara, is could you have done A and B simultaneously? So maybe in principle, I could have done shechita and kisei hadam simultaneously. But I can't bench and eat simultaneously. And guess what? You can't daven Mariv and eat simultaneously. So therefore, the Mariv is considered to be a hefsek. What the Gemara says is true of Birchas HaMazon and is also true when it comes to tefillah. And that was the psak of Rabbeinu Yontif, that if you daven in the middle of the Suda, now you have to make new brachos again. Because how can the brachos survive davening? Because I efshar bahadei hadali. And why is that so important? Well, because that's exactly the Gemara's teretz. The difference between kisei hadam as opposed to the case of birchas hamazon. Wow, that's the psak of Rabbeinu Yontif. Rabbeinu Yontif. We don't paskim like that view of Rabbeinu Yontif. We assume that the brachos can survive davening. Can survive davening. But that's the psak of Rabbeinu Yontif. There is an afkamina. I remember that, I was at yeshiva dinner. It was on, the Suda started when it was to Rosh Chodesh. But that night was no longer Rosh Chodesh. So they're about to bench. They said, you say Yalav Yavo? I told them, don't say Yalav Yavo. So he told me, don't say Yalav Yavo, it's before Shin Shachar, Kupay Ches. That Yalav follows the Tchila Sasuda, So I said to him, you're right, but you daven Mariv. You daven Mariv in the middle of the Suda. That's also before Shin Kupay Ches. That if you daven Mariv in the middle of the Suda, you don't have to repeat the brachos, but you can't argue now that there's a seamless hemshech of the Suda if you daven Mariv. And now you're going to say Yalav Yavo for the Tchila Sasuda, once you daven Mariv, no? You have your Suda Spurim. Very common, it's bench after Tzeis. You bench after Tzeis, you say Alanisim, as long as you didn't daven Mariv. But if you daven Mariv be'emsa Suda, sometimes you can envision that would happen, no? The guys are getting a little beyond, so therefore, let's daven Mariv already, no? You daven Mariv, then you continue. Even if the Tchila Sasuda, when it was Purim, you don't say Alanisim. You can't mention the Me'en HaMa'ora once you daven Mariv. But we don't go as far as Rabbeinu Yontif, right, that you have to make new brachos. But what's wrong with Rabbeinu Yontif's svara? It's mefurish in the Gemara. The kove is bahadeh hadadeh. So the Rush writes the difference. Of course the Gemara says bahadeh hadadeh. But, right? The Rush writes, that's only if step A is in place. That's only if step A is in place. Meaning, look, the Birchas HaMazon is the Gemar HaSuda. Kisei Hadam is the Gemar HaShechita. Benching signals that the meal's over. Kisei Hadam signals that the Shechita is complete. That's the common denominator of that Gemara in Chul Daf Pei Zayin. Where B is the Gemar of A. So that's what the Gemara says. If that's true, that B is the conclusion of A, does that mean you have to recite new brachos? The Rush writes, that's the teretz of the Gemara. It depends. If it's Yefshe Bahari Hadadi, then yes, and if not, then not. But the Rush writes, woo, if you don't get to square one, you didn't even start at square one, where B is the conclusion of, then it's obvious that there's no Hefsa. It's obvious that there's no Hefsa. So therefore, the Rush writes against Rabbeinu Yontif. Davening Maariv is not necessarily the Gemara Hasuda. So there's no question that the bracha survives Maariv. The whole question of the Gemara in Pei Zayin is only when you meet step A, that what you're doing, B, is the conclusion of A. Is it always the conclusion of A? Oh, that's what the Gemara says. It is only the conclusion of A if you couldn't have done Sabari Adadi. If you can do Sabari Adadi, it's not considered to be the conclusion of A. But if you're dealing with something like out of the hat, that it's not the conclusion of, why would one argue you just had your appetizer and going to daven Maariv? Maariv is the Gemar Hasuda. The Gemar Hasuda. So therefore, whether you could do so simultaneously or not is irrelevant, irrelevant. Bahari Adadi is like 1A and 1B, but you have to get to A. A means that what you're doing signals that it was considered to be absolutely complete. It's an important, important chiddush that the Rush writes. So it's interesting that this is all the chiddushim of the Rush. That even though the Rush disagrees with Halachos Gedolos and maintains that, look, in Minyan HaMitzvos, clearly it is an independent mitzvah, and the bracha on Kisi Adam is going to be over L'Asiyasa. It's going to be over L'Asiyasa. But the Rush writes, don't take my position to the extreme that there's no relationship. In terms of the Maisa Hashkita, the Maisa Kisa, the Pasuk says, of course, there's a Seder, there's a sequence, there is a relationship. And therefore, one could still view the Kisi Adam as the conclusion, the culmination, the Gemara Shchita, even if, in terms of Birchas HaMitzvah, we're going to argue that if it's a mitzvah b'fnei atzma, so therefore that is still called over L'Asiyasa, over L'Asiyasa. So that's a chiddush of the nuanced Shita of the Rush. You know, if you look in that very daf, Chulin daf Pei Zayin, the Gemara writes the following. Who exactly does the Shchita? Okay, up to you. Who does the Kisui? Who does the Kisui? Here the Gemara writes that ideally, the Shafach, the Kisa means the Shochet does so. Let's say for whatever reason the Shochet does not do so. Guess what? Others have to do so. Others have to do so. Interesting. But on the one hand, Tirei is that Misha Shachar Hu Yechase? But if that doesn't happen, it doesn't mean that, you know, that don't bother doing the Kisi Adam. So someone else has to go ahead and to engage in the Kisi Adam. You know, one could understand that in a couple of ways, and maybe that relates to the Rush and to the Bahag, in the following sense, that maybe one could argue is this, that if one is really going to argue that the Kisi Adam is the Gemara Shchita, certainly according to the Bahag, and even the Rashi points out, admits that there's a relationship. So therefore, of course it's true. I would tell you that the starting point is self-evident, that the Shochet should engage in the Kisi Adam. If, for whatever reason, he doesn't, well, yes, of course. I would compare it to a case, let's say, of Bris Milah, where it's considered to be a chiv that the father has on the son. But you know what? If the father is delinquent, if he's negligent, then obviously you have to see to it that the child is mahu. Similarly, that it's inappropriate that the dam of the animal is exposed, the dam is built in mechusen. So one has to see to it that the dam indeed is covered. The dam is covered. But it's not surprising that Tirei is that the Shochet should do so. Because it's the mitzvah which is ala Shochet. Just as the Milas HaBen is a mitzvah which is incumbent upon the Av. You know, another way of understanding this Gemara is that it's not inherent. If I ask you, why is it that the father is obligated to be a smila, I wouldn't just say it's a Seder Kadima. That, you know what, the father is a blood relative, so give him first crack, and if not, the moor. There I will tell you, no, the Gemara has psukim. There's a separate chiyuv incumbent upon the Av to do so. And you're right, if the Av is delinquent and he's negligent and he fails to fulfill his mitzvah, then all of a sudden chiyuv be, yeah, that it's necessary. It's necessary to have. Is that true of Shchit and Kisei Hadam? Is that comparable to Bris Mila? I would argue, no, it's simply considered to be a Seder Kadima. You're Maschal B'mitzvah, so okay, so you know what? We'll give you first crack at including the mitzvah. So, not Muchach at all, but I would tell you that the approaches, I think, would link to the Machlokas, the Bahag, and the Rush, that to what extent do we view Kisei Hadam as a separate mitzvah? To what extent is it considered to be the Gemar HaShnita? Because if it's considered to be a completely independent mitzvah, I would argue the preference that given to the Shochet is Seder Kadima. If I'm telling you that it's considered to be something which is beyond that, it's not just a Seder Kadima, but this is considered to be the Gemar HaShnita, so there, I would compare it to a case of Mila, in the sense that it's beyond a Seder Kadima, but rather that the Shochet has to do so, and anyone else who does so clearly, that is considered to be, right, the second tier, absolutely. But take a look, and you can, these Makoros and the Rush, the relationship between. Okay, but, let me tell you something unusual about these Parshios, Seder HaParshios. The Seder HaParshios. Something this year, right? A little bit unusual. Number one, a leap year, a Shana Muberes. And number two, right? The first and the last day of Pesach falls out on Shabbos. That's unusual convergence that we just celebrated. Shana Muberes and the Rishon and Achron Shel Pesach are on Shabbos. So, as you imagine, as clearly, no. But, everybody who's heading back now to Eretz Yisrael to go to yeshiva knows that we're one off. No. For us, Achron Shel Pesach is Shabbos. In Eretz Yisrael, it's Yisru Chag. So they already laned Parshas Achrimos. This Shabbos, we're laning Parshas Achrimos. So we're off. Okay, so that's just the way it is. No. So, you know, Kedei Lachlo Kavod L'Eretz Yisrael, we're going to try to get back in sync, no? We're going to get back in sync. So, something very, very surprising. This is already, right, the Tshuvas Maharit, Chelek Beis Simendal. When do we get back on track? So the Maharit points out, This is really unusual. Now, I would have said that there is a very simple solution. Now, and the simple solution would be this Shabbos we should lane Achrimos and Kedoshim. In Eretz Yisrael, they're going to lane Kedoshim. And guess what? We're good to go. So, very surprising that that does not happen. No. We only lane Achrimos. And we're off. You know, we get to Bahar B'Chukosai. Same thing there. If we were to combine, we'd be in sync. We don't combine. You get to Chukas Balak. If we were to combine, we'd be good to go. We don't combine. All of a sudden, you know, we're already holding at the end of the summer. You know? Chodesh Av. Guess what? We kind of wake up, we combine Matos and Masse, and now we're back in sync with Eretz Yisrael. So pretty surprising, no? We had like three opportunities to get on track, and the first opportunity is Mamish this Shabbos, and we don't. And months from now, we kind of go ahead and synchronize. But you know, for months, we're off. And the question is, why don't we exercise the simplest solution? No. It's an important question, no? This is already a tshuvas marit, a tshuvas marit. So the marit focus is really on half of it, on half of it. The marit writes that the following, what's wrong with the Shabbos? What's wrong with the Shabbos? Why not simply combine Acher Mos and Kedusha? Ooh, the marit writes, you know what the secret is? Right? The Sugyan Megillah, Daf Lamed Aleph, Mud Beis, Netosis. That's the secret. Meaning, the Gemara tells us that there was a special Takanas Ezra, that the timing of the Parsha, the Tochacha, is really important. It's really important. A separate Takanas Ezra, that you have to lane the Tochacha before Rosh Hashanah. That's the Tocha and Kisavo. And the Tochacha of Sefer Vayikra, Parshas B'chukosai, you have to lane before Shavuos. That was a separate Takanas Ezra. You know, Chazal so beautifully arranged the Seder HaParshios, you don't even realize it. You think it happens to be Parshas HaShavua, but it's not just happens to be Parshas HaShavua. Chazal deliberately were misadded the Parshios in this fashion because there was a Takanas Ezra. It's before the Yemei Hadin, you have to lay in the Brachos and Kolos. It's before the Yontif of Shavuos, it's a Rosh Hashanah for Peiros HaIlan, and it's Zman Matan Torah Seinu, you have to lane the Brachos and Kolos. So Tosus doesn't ask our Kasha. Tosus asks another Kasha. But similar, Tosus's Kasha is this. If, in a given year, you have two Shabbosos in between Rosh Hashanah and Sukkot, that's Tosus's Kasha. Megillah Daf Lamed Aleph Amud Beis. In other words, Rosh Hashanah doesn't fall on Shabbos. Yom Kippur doesn't fall on Shabbos. So you have two Shabbosos. You have to have a dual Kriya Satorah between Rosh Hashanah and Sukkot. So what exactly do you do? So of the options of Matos and Masai, and Itzav and Vayelech, Tosa says, one you have to separate, one you have to combine. So Tosa writes that Shalom Bebeis Midrash Shor Rabbeinu Nissim, that what we do sounds a little unusual. We combine Matos and Masai. We combine them for a huge Kriya Satorah, and we separate Nitzam Vayelech. We have to have a different Kriya Satorah because we have two Shabbosos. We separate Nitzam Vayelech. So Tosa says, isn't that odd? We take the two smallest Parshios and separate them, and we combine the long, long Parshios. Why not just combine the short ones? Nitzam Vayelech. So Tosa's answer is because that would be a violation of the Takanas Ezra. Because the Takanas Ezra is you have to lane the Brachos and Klalos before Rosh Hashanah. Ooh, so Tosos writes this. The Brachos and Klalos begin with Kisavo. The Brachos and Klalos also extend to the beginning of Parshas Nitzavim. Atem Nitzavim Kolchem. So Tosos says, you have to lane Nitzavim before Rosh Hashanah. That's the secret. You have to lay Nitzavim before Rosh Hashanah. So if you were to separate Matos and Masai and combine Nitzav Ve'elech, you know what that would mean? That you separate it and you would combine Nitzav Ve'elech Shabbos Shuvah. That's too late. That's too late. You have to lay Kisavo and Nitzavim before Rosh Hashanah. That was the Takanas Ezra. So Tosa says we had no choice but to separate Nitzav Ve'elech and to combine long Parshios. Whoa, that's the Tosos. That's the Tosos. So the Marit writes, so the second half is Shavuos. You have to lane the Brachos and Klalos of the Chukosai followed by the Midbar before Shavuos. And you can't have a huge gap in between Parshas B'chukosai and Shavuos. There's a Takanas Ezra that you have to lay in B'chukosai before Shavuos. That was a Takanas Ezra. Just like a Takanas Ezra that you have to lay in Kisavo before Rosh Hashanah, you have to learn Bechukosai before Shavuos. So the Marit writes, if we would catch up this Shabbos, if we would catch up this Shabbos, you know what that would mean? That you learn Bechukosai, then the next Shabbos you would learn Parshas Bamidbar, then the next Shabbos you would learn Parshas Naso, and then you would celebrate Shavuos. That doesn't conform to the Takanas Ezra. No, that's like too much of a gap. Weeks before. The Marit admits in Eretz Yisrael that's going to be the reality. That's going to be the reality in Eretz Yisrael. But we have two options. We can either narrow the gap or expand the gap. So the Marit writes, that's the secret. If we would catch up to Eretz Yisrael, this Shabbos, we would be expanding the gap between the Tochacha and Chag HaShavuos, and that is not appropriate based on the Takanas Ezra. So therefore, combining Achimos and Kedoshim is not an option. And that's the Tshuvas Marit. Right? It's important, no? Then the Marit just adds the second half, and writes, and once we miss the first opportunity to combine, so therefore, he writes, we follow the typical Seder, and we only combine at the very end, Matos and Masai, which in any case are the Haftoris of the Shlosha de Parnasa. That's the Chiddush of the Marit, but it's important that somebody ask you the Shabbos. Now, why are we dragging and lagging behind? That's the answer. That's the answer of the Marit. So maybe there's another answer as well. Not the Marit, but maybe another answer. The reason perhaps we don't combine is because of the following. When you look at the Haftorah for Parshas Achrimos, there's something unusual about this Haftorah. This is from Amos Perek Tes. And somehow, Chazal did not want to pass up the opportunity to lean this Haftorah. Why exactly do I say that really is true? You know, typically speaking, when you have two Parshios, what's the Haftorah? You'll combine two Parshios, and the Haftorah is always the later Parsha, no? You know, Achrimos and Kedoshim is exceptional. It's exceptional, no? That whenever Achrimos and Kedoshim are laying together, we lay in the Haftorah, Parshas Achrimos. We lay in Amos and Perek Tes. The Haftorah of Parshas Kedoshim is very rare. It's very, very rare. Sometimes, literally, you can go for decades without laying the Haftorah of Parshas Kedoshim. Because either they're combined, or it's Shabbos Rosh Chodesh, or Machar Chodesh. You know, it's very rare to lay the Haftorah of Parshas Kedoshim. Why? Because whenever they're together, Parshas Achrimos always trumps. And let's assume, for example, Parshas Achrimos would be Shabbos Rosh Chodesh, or Machar Chodesh. So you know what you do? The next Shabbos, Parshas Kedoshim, you lay the Haftorah, Parshas Achrimos. One thing is clear, that the Haftorah of Achrimos, we're going to do somersaults to lay that Haftorah. So if Achrimos and Kedoshim are combined, we're always going to Achrimos. And if for whatever reason you can't lay the Haftorah of Achrimos on the Shabbos of Achrimos because it's Machar Chodesh or it's Shabbos Rosh Chodesh, you know what? We're going to lay it the next week in Parshas Kedoshim. So clearly, that, you know, Chazal felt that was an absolute imperative. When you look at the theme of the Haftorah, it's not so surprising. Because the Haftorah speaks about the Golus of Klal Yisrael. But then the Haftorah speaks about ultimate Gula. The Haftorah emphasizes at great length and great detail right? The Geula HaAsida and the primacy of Eretz Yisrael. Right? That's where you find the pasuk of Bayomahu, Akim Esukas David Hanufeles, Veshavti Yeshvus Ami Yisrael. Right? That the whole destiny of Klal Yisrael, right, is depicted in this Haftarah. Lo yinatshu mi'alad masam, Klal Yisrael will never be forsaken by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Our kesher to Eretz Yisrael, the Haftacha to return to Eretz Yisrael, the Nitzchius of Knesset Yisrael, all of that is part of this Haftarah. All of this is part of this Haftarah. And therefore, maybe it's not so surprising. You know, if I were to ask you, you know, what is the Haftarah of Parshas Kedoshim, probably would not even know, no? But if I ask you, like, what is the Haftarah of Achrei Mos, like, when you realize it, like, this is something that was incredibly, incredibly meaningful, right, for Chazal. And therefore, literally, somersaults. Now, they made sure that this Haftarah is going to be read. And even when a circumstance would be that it can't be, so they made sure. You're going to double up Achrei Mos and Kedoshim, we're laying this Haftarah. You can't lay because of Shabbos, Rosh Chodesh, or Machar Chodesh, Kedoshim, we're laying this particular Haftarah, big Haftarah. It's just a harder, no? But I think it's something which is striking. What would happen if we ended up combining Achrei Mos and Kedoshim? So, you know what that would mean? That this Shabbos, we would not be laning that Haftarah. After all, because Shabbos, Rosh Chodesh, and Machar Chodesh always takes preference. And that would mean that this Haftarah is skipped. Next Shabbos will be Parshas Emor. Laning the Haftarah of Achrei Mos and Parshas Emor is never an option. Never an option. It would mean that we would not be laning this Haftarah. And that would be something which is very ironic, no? That kedei lachlo kavod Eretz Yisrael, to be in sync with them, we're going to be deleting the Haftarah that emphasizes all aspects of Kedushas Haaretz. And maybe that's why this was not an option. I remember when Rabbi Soloveitchik was giving a shiur a few years ago to the yeshiva, so he mentioned that something quite unusual, that when you look at the Haftarahs of Barim B'chukosa, and when you look at the Haftarahs of Chukas and Balak, it's exactly the same. No? That the Haftarah of Parshas Bahar is Yirmiyah Perek Lamed Beis, that discusses the uniqueness of Eretz Yisrael, the Nevuah of Yirmiyahu returning to Eretz Yisrael. And when you look at the Haftarah of Parshas Chukash, Shoftim Perek Yud Aleph, the same is true, where these three Haftarahs happen to emphasize at great length our link to Kedushas Haaretz. And maybe that's the Yisod. On a certain level, it would have been important to be in sync with Eretz Yisrael, but not at the expense of laning the Haftarahs that the uniqueness of Eretz Yisrael emerges explicitly, not by implication, but explicitly. That's exactly the theme. And therefore, perhaps that's why Chazal chose that these are not candidates for the combination. When you get to Chodesh Av, Matos and Masa, that already is a different cycle of Haftarahs entirely. That already is the Shlosha de Parnassa. So you know what we're going to end up doing during the summer? So Pinchas is going to be the first of the Shlosha de Parnassa, followed by Matos Masai combined, followed by Dvarim. That's the Shlosha de Parnassa. What Haftarah are we missing? We're missing the Haftarah Parshas Pinchas in order again in the Shlosha de Parnassa to emphasize the Chashivos of Eretz Yisrael. So that was an appropriate time to make up, right, that gap. But when you look at the Haftarah, it's a little technical, no? But when you look at the Haftarah, it's like stunning how it emerges, that the Parshios that we combine, Matos and Masai, is lachlok gavul eretz Yisrael. And if we would have combined any others, we would be diminishing the kavod eretz Yisrael. So therefore, of all of the four options of combinations, we end up doing the very, very last one, that even though it does acknowledge that, you know, to some extent, we are a little bit out of sync with Eretz Yisrael, but you know what? It's worth being out of sync with Eretz Yisrael in order, bedavka, to be cholek kavod Eretz Yisrael. Because in order to demonstrate that that's the themes of all three of these haftorahs, one of which would have been deleted had we chosen to catch up with Eretz Yisrael at an earlier time. So two fascinating approaches to explain the sequence of the parshias. No? One, simply the Marit, in order to recognize the Takana Sezra, to juxtapose the Tochacha v'Chag HaShavuos, right? And the other is that in order to be able to emphasize that aspect of the Kedushas Haaretz. Okay, so we'll stop here, and Mirtz Hashem Sunday, right? We'll continue with the segues. If you can, Chazer, especially the second half of the last year, about the relationship of Essay and Nosasay when it comes to Hashava Saveda, because we're going to see Chedushim based on the Sheet of the Rambam, the Sheet of the Ramban. I had mentioned the Marmakala was Reb Chaim to take a look at. Over Shabbos, if you can, let's try to do that. Okay, very good. Mm.